Well, I have 3:30. I'll call this meeting of the Des Moines Water Works Finance and Audit Committee to order. I see board members present include Sue Huppert, Diane Munns, and Graham Gillette. I think Andrea was possibly joining us later, so we'll get started. First item is legal services review. Ted, do you want to get us started?
Yes, absolutely, Joel. Thank you. We've talked about legal services a handful of times over the last year or so. And I'm sure the board will recall that the Dickinson firm has served as legal counsel to the board since 1957. The last time that we did an official RFP for legal services was in 1999. I believe that was at the point in time when J.B. Mackman retired from the Dickinson firm. The decision was made at that time to retain Dickinson as legal counsel to the board, and Rick Malm was named as legal counsel to the board at that time and has served in that capacity since that time. A little more than a year ago now, the beginning of 2020, Rick advised the board that he was going of counsel, and there was some thought that that might be an appropriate time to issue an RFP and review proposals from Dickinson and from other firms. We talked about it, as I said, a handful of times, most recently, I think, at the October board meeting. And at that meeting, the decision was made not to issue an RFP, but a motion was made that staff bring the question back to the board at the end of the first quarter with a draft request for proposals. And a distribution plan intended to ensure that that RFP was widely distributed to potential firms, and also a plan for review of legal services on an ongoing basis in the future. So what we have here before the board today is a draft RFP. It was included in the packet. A pretty straightforward request for proposals. Also in the memo, there is a brief outline of the intended distribution plan. Basically, the plan involves reaching out to a number of local firms who we believe have the capacity to respond to the RFP. And in addition to that, advertise the RFP in the business record so that firms who aren't not on this list would also have the opportunity to see the proposal and or the RFP and make a proposal if they are so inclined. And then the last paragraph in the memo describes what staff believes to be the appropriate approach going forward for review of legal services, which would be the issuance of an RFP on a 10-year cycle, thinking that 5 years for legal services is probably too frequently. Issuing an RFP on a 10-year cycle and then also creating an opportunity for the board, or at very least the chair and vice chair, to have an annual meeting with legal counsel to discuss legal services and any questions or concerns. So that's what we have before the board today, and be happy to entertain any discussion about the RFP document, the draft, those proposals, and any sort of time frame that the board would like to consider.
I I have a question, and that is, are we limiting this to Des Moines?
We have, our intention is to require that the firm has a local presence. So I don't know that, I would say Metro, Diane, but yes, that was our thought.
Thank you.
Ted, is the intent, and I'm looking through the draft, and I realize it is a draft. I see it's more around firms. To me, I want to know within that firm, if they have an individual that they have in mind that would be our person, because I think firms vary so much, and there are great attorneys in some firms that we'd love to have, maybe some that we would rather not. So I'm not seeing exactly where that would be stated.
That's a good question, Sue. I think that our intent is that there would be an individual who is identified as legal counsel to the board, and that would be the primary person representing the board, but then certainly there would be opportunity to tap into additional specific expertise within the firm as appropriate, or even with other firms, as we've often done with bonding as an example. But if that's not clearly stated in there, I think we probably would want to clearly state that.
Well, under 4C and then number 2, it says attorney qualifications, section B, it should be attached, not included in the page limit. I mean, if I were responding to that for the firm, a firm, I would list all the attorneys we have, and that's not my question. My question is, who would you intend to be the individual? And Graham, I know you and I had talked about this when you first brought this up, and that's really what I'm wanting to see, not just our firm will take it on. Who are they talking about?
Sue, if I may, in part 3, subsection C, it talks about qualifications, provide resumes of attorneys who will be assigned the work. However, we could make that stronger. I think that was the intent there. On page 4.
Yeah, I agree with that intent, Amy. And I think that naturally they'll probably assign, you know, a lead attorney. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did divide up our work a little bit, you know, between, if I'm just making this up, they had an employment specialist or they had, you know, a particular specialist. And that could be in our advantage. So I wouldn't want to direct them too much. I think what you've done there, Amy, is right. Name the attorneys that are going to, you know, be involved and let them decide that. Because maybe they're not going to assign it. You know, maybe this will be a different model. They'll propose a different model than having, you know, one attorney that takes the lead on all things.
And Graham, would you be comfortable with that? Or do you think we should ask them for at least who would serve as our primary point of contact?
Yeah, I think maybe you could ask them that. I think that satisfies Sue's question about knowing who the lead person is. And then, but I'm interested to know if they're going to have other expertise that could be interesting too.
That's a great point.
I think Sue's point is really good. And I think kind of the natural structure of law firms will kind of sort that out. You know, someone will have the account and will be our attorney. And, but I think your point is really well taken, Sue.
I'll strengthen that language.
Now, I will say we haven't behaved this way before as a committee, but I had suggested that maybe things like this could be voted on formally in committee and that way moved to the board. If you would entertain such a motion, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we direct the staff to finalize the RFP and bring it to the board at the March meeting.
I would second that.
If Rick would just entertain me, make sure this is all kosher to take a vote in a committee meeting. I'm still relatively new to this.
From an open meeting standpoint, it's permissible because we notice these as regular meetings of the board. And
but to be clear, this is not an action. This is not intended to be a board action. It's simply moving this item from committee to board for final action.
I was going to say the committees don't ordinarily have the charter to take final board action, but do have a charter to make recommendations to the board.
So we have a, I will entertain that. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a roll call vote.
Ashburn?
Yes.
Bolton is absent. Hubbard?
Yes.
Gillette?
Yes.
Munns?
Yes, I have a point of order on this. If we're going to be voting in committee meetings, is it just the official committee members or everybody who's there?
I think the way that, and I have to go back and look at policy, but I mean, members are assigned to committees, but all board members can attend and participate. So I would assume that all members of the board could participate in a committee vote. But it's an excellent question.
I don't know.
And I think what we're saying then, correct, is that this committee is moving this forward and wants the entire board to have the discussion and to review the final documents so that
absolutely.
We can take action at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's my understanding as well.
I have the sense of it is, and votes have rarely been taken at the committee level, but it's this board, but it's sort of like a committee of Congress where a vote is taken to send something to the floor. That's basically what you're doing.
We've had some discussions to that effect, and I'm open to using the committees more to forward things to the entire board. Though, as I think Graham and I have discussed, I'm a little reluctant to having most of our policy discussions and decisions made in committee meetings with
agreed.
The public doesn't attend often, but to the extent they do, they're more likely to attend our full board meeting. And I don't want to see our full board meetings become mere rubber stamps for things we've hashed out in committee meetings. So I think that's a balance we'll have to find as we kind of try to take more advisory votes like this. But I think this can be a good process.
I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, you know, sometimes that's the evil of committees and certain bodies is that things get discussed more secretively, and that's not the intent here. Really, my thought was that, you know, as we move into being a bigger, more regional entity, we're setting a standard for the new regional entity to follow.
Are we then wanting to have the word recommendation from the committee as part of that motion in light of what you said, Joel? No,
the motion was to move it to the full board. It wasn't that was what the motion was.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it was two things. One, it was to direct staff to finalize the RFP and to bring that to the full board.
Sounds good.
A question, if I might, about the distribution plan. Is there any comment on we've identified the list that we think is appropriate, but then we'll also publish?
Okay. I think it looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And I'll have to ask Joel this question because it's been a long time since I participated in any way in the bar. Does the bar have any publications or way to put out this kind of thing?
I'm going to show my ignorance. I don't know.
Rick, do you know?
I can take a look.
Yes, it certainly does. The State Bar has a magazine that goes out monthly. That would be an appropriate place to advertise.
Sure. There's a section in the back that has, you know, proposals and things like that.
I hesitate to talk too much about this because we have a bit of a conflict of interest.
Well, it's a procedural factual question. It's a, just a process question. Yeah.
Okay. Item two, regionalization discussion.
Yeah. Joel, we have an interest today in sharing with the board methods of analysis of proposed economics for the regionalization discussion, and believe that may be something the board would want to take up in closed session.
Is there, Ted, and I haven't really looked at this, is there any reason to have some of this discussion in public and then move into closed, or do you think it's all strategy and not, and wouldn't be appropriate to be an open session?
It's hard for me to dissect it, Graham, frankly. What we want to do is share with the board our methodology for analysis of the financial considerations, including the ones that we think are relevant to our strategy moving forward. And I'm not sure how to separate the strategy from the analysis.
Well, that makes it the methodology. Okay, that makes sense to me that you'd have to walk us through that. And that is probably sensitive information. I could make the motion if you think it's appropriate, Joel.
I will entertain a motion.
I move that the Board of Water Trustees hold a closed session under Section 388.91 Code of Iowa to discuss marketing and pricing strategies and proprietary information that may impact its competitive position by public disclosure not required of potential or actual competitors related to ongoing negotiations over creating an integrated regional water authority. Each of these topics should be will be discussed in closed session to avoid disclosure likely to prejudice or disadvantage the position of Des Moines Water Works.
Second.
And to clarify, the topics would be limited to the methods of analysis of proposed transaction economics and alternative deal terms as disclosed in the meeting agenda.
Having made the motion, I agree with that clarification.
We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote.
Ashburner?
Yes.
Munns?
Yes.
Gillette?
Yes.
Hubbard?
Yes.
Oh, let me let Andrea in real quick. She's up, so she's up to speed. Or Joel, would you like to get her up to speed?
Is she in the room now?
I am.
We have you. We just had a motion and second and started a roll call vote on going into closed session to discuss methods of analysis of proposed transaction economics and alternative deal terms. The motion was to go into closed session. Would you like to vote on that?
Sure, yes. I support that motion.
I may have gone ahead of myself. Ted, did you have comments that we'll want to get out of the way now? So when we come back, we just need to close.
I think, Joel, the only comment that I was going to share is that we seem to have made it through the thaw of the river without exceptional water quality challenges, but we're keeping an eye on that. Ice out was pretty smooth this year with the no rain and high warm temps. So just for the board's information, that one piece of water quality data.
All right, and we have we will return to this when we're done with closed session. We have a separate link, is that right?
We do have a Microsoft Teams link for the closed session. So we'll leave this mess, this meeting, and go into that.
Okay. See you there. Okay, we are returning to the Finance Audit Committee meeting from closed session. I'll wait for a few people to get logged in. All right, as I said, we're returning from closed session to the Finance Audit Committee meeting. We did not take any action. I believe we still have public comment on the agenda. I didn't see any public on the call before, and I don't see any now.
Nobody was waiting on us.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second here. All right, we are adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.